The easiest way to share your faith all week, simply by going to our Facebook page, The Path Church. There you will be able to see that we are streaming live already. And all you have to do is literally press the button that says share. So let's take out our phones. Let's take out our phones. You see the good things? I see y'all if you're really doing it. And since we're disciples, you know, God gives us the mission to spread the gospel, right? To spread the word of God. And so this is an easy way to help our friends be able to hear the word of God this morning. And the more shares we get, the more people get to watch the video and see God's word and hear God's word being preached. Last week, you know, we have our Moving Mountain series. We're right in the middle of our Moving Mountain series. And we talked about consecration last week. Talked about consecration, consecrating our lives, our relationships, any new ventures, just about everything to God. We also talked about the things that hinder our prayers, right? We talked about how doubt, selfish motives, even our relationship with our spouse may hinder our prayers, and of course, sin. But the solution is consecration. Now, I was so encouraged to look on Facebook this past week and see the post that our sister Brianna put up on Facebook sharing about how much it helped her. And she described, or she gave the meaning, defined the word consecrate, verb to make or declare something sacred, dedicate formally to a divine purpose. The word consecration literally means association with the sacred. A synonym for to consecrate is to sanctify. She goes on to say, this week our church was challenged to consecrate everything to God. I have consecrated meetings, interactions with people, my emotions, and gave them to God. I am literally giving things back to the Creator, letting go of my desires for the way I think things should go in order to make sure I am in alignment with God's will. This practice has increased my faith, my prayer life, and has decreased my need for being in control. Amen. Thank you to the Path Church and our leader, Angel Maldonado, for pushing me to new heights in my devotion to God. You are very welcome, Brianna. It is my pleasure and honor. You know, this post in itself is an answered prayer for me, because as I come here and share the word of God, that is my prayer that it will help us to grow and become more like Jesus Christ. Amen? This week, we're going to tackle the topic of discernment. Discernment, okay? Before we do that, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We exalt you, God, because you do make a way out of no way. In our lives, you constantly come through for us. God, that just the fact that you would allow us to find you, God, just the fact that you would allow us to have a relationship with you is such a special, special thing, God. And we pray, God, that we may find you in a deeper way today, that you reveal truth to our hearts personally in ways that you want us to grow, Father, and that through this time, God, we can become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today we are celebrating International Day, and I see everybody in their traditional garb. You know, I got my linen pants on that I only bring out for International Day. I woke up this morning, you know, that what would Jesus do? I thought, what would Jesus wear? And sure enough, we're pretty close. Anybody got a gold chain? I need a gold chain. No, nobody got a gold chain. But it's good to see everybody out there representing. You know, I see some bright colors out there. We have people from all over the world. And it is amazing. I took a picture. We are truly international in this church. And, you know, we are, I guess the other word would be domestic, as Americans as well. You know, some of us have our traditional American garb on. Our hipster USA garb, or our hood USA garb, our urban USA, our middle class USA, our church USA garb. We're doing it. We're doing it. But I do want to thank those who helped plan this event. It is so awesome to see our brothers and sisters take on an event like this. The events board for the singles ministry took this on. I know Sonia had this on her heart. I know Janae is the chair of the board. So it's so amazing when it's not just the people who are on staff or who are the ministers who are, organizing things, but just everyday members, our brothers and sisters saying, I have a dream, I want to do something. So it's so inspiring to see it all come together. And it's amazing. It's beautiful. It is amazing. So thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. You know, one of the things that unites us as a people, no matter where we are from, is prayer. Prayer unites us as a people. No matter where you're from, how you grew up, no matter what you like to eat, what you like to dance to. This unites us. But there's two types of prayers that just about everybody from anywhere has prayed before. And I guarantee you, if you have prayed in this room today, you've prayed these two prayers. One is some form of, help me, God. Help me, Lord. I need you right now, Lord God. Please come through for me. Help me. And the second one is, God, what should I do? What should I do? And that's the one we're going to focus on today. God, what should I do? It's a prayer for guidance, right? For clarity, for direction. It's a prayer, when God says, let there be light, we're praying for God to shine light on our decisions that we have to make and point us in the right direction to be a light for our path, right? We ask God things like, well, what should we do about our children? They're in this situation. Or what should we do about our finances? Should I take this job? Is he the one? Is she the one? Where should I go to school? We think about all these things. What am I supposed to do with my life? What is my purpose? God, I need you to shine your light and give me clarity on this. Because I found out that most of us want to do the right thing. Most of us here today want to do the right thing. And the Bible is very clear when it comes to right and wrong, right? We know what the wrong thing is. We know what sin is. If we haven't read it in the Bible, we have a thing called a conscience, and we feel that, right? And so we have the Ten Commandments. But it's even harder to figure out when a decision is not right and wrong, but what's good, better, and best. And so those are the times we ask God, what should I do? We want to know God's will. I don't know about you, but I want to know what God wants for my life. One, because I want to be humble enough to know that he knows best, right? But two, I don't know about you, but I want to make the right decision. And I want my decision to be successful. So I think, well, if I do what God wants me to do, then I have a greater chance to be successful with my decision making. Amen? That's just practical, good sense. And that's good. That's humble. I think we're on the right track. And so we pray. And when we pray, is a thing called discernment. We pray for discernment. What is discernment? Discernment is simply the ability to judge well, to make the right decision in the midst of a challenging situation. Praying for discernment is asking God for spiritual direction and understanding. Now, if you look over in 1 Kings chapter 3, this is what David, King David's son Solomon, who was taken over the throne, this is what he asked God for. So God said, listen, I made a promise to David that his lineage would always be on the throne. And so whatever you want, I will grant you. Think about this, whatever you want. It's like, say God's not a genie, but in this one case, he's like, hey, you can choose one. You get one wish, Solomon, one wish. So if you had one wish, what would you ask for? What would you ask for? Well, 1 Kings chapter 3 in verse 7 says this. This is Solomon. It says, now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I'm only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? He was humble. He understood his limitations. He said, God, I just need a discerning heart so I can do your will, so I can serve your people. In verse 10, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies. I know some of y'all were thinking. No, not in the church, not we only. But for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. God was pleased by his request. He was pleased by what he asked for, and so God gave that to him and gave him everything that he didn't ask for. Success and wealth and long life. You know, Solomon, of course, as we know, became one of the greatest kings that ever lived. He wrote Proverbs, that's in the Bible, Ecclesiastes. He wrote Song of Songs. You know, and so I look at this and I believe that God wants us to ask for discernment. Like, God wants us to have this heart to say, God, teach me what to do so that I may serve your people. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to give us clarity. You know, that's why he gives us his word, right? To give us wisdom. That's why he gives us his spirit, which is the great counselor. That's why he gives us his church, right? We get so much wisdom and clarity from one another. So how does God grant us discernment? Look over in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 17. I believe he uses two things to grant us discernment. Ephesians 1:17, it says this: I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. This is Paul praying for the church in Ephesus. He's saying, this is what I'm asking God for. Okay, so we see Solomon was asking for himself. Paul is asking for the church, that the church will get wisdom and revelation. Why? So that we may know him better. What does that mean? The more we know God, the more we will know what God wants from our lives. The more we will know what path he wants us to take, the more we will be in tune for in regards to his will for our lives. So let's talk about the first one. Let's talk about wisdom. Andy Stanley wrote this book called Ask It. Ask It. And he says, this question, he said, everybody trying to make a decision should ask this question. This is the question that will revolutionize how you make decisions. It peels off emotion. It peels back any complexities with relationships, ambition. In some cases, this question brings instant clarity. Instant clarity that even sometimes we may not like or want. And some people don't like this question because many times we want to talk ourselves into things, right? And so we want to do what we want to do. This question will impact our future in a powerful way, whether it deals with emotionally, relationally, financially. This question will really make sure that we don't have regrets. But also, not just regrets, but time-consuming and expensive regrets, okay? So this will help us avoid those type of regrets. What is the question? What is the wise thing to do? That is so simple, Angel. What are you talking about? Of course, we're going to try to make wise decisions. But a lot of times what we do is we take the lowest common denominator when we're trying to make a decision. Is this wrong? Is this going to cause me harm? Nobody's going to die. You know, like, we just take the lowest common denominator, the lowest common factor. And if it's not illegal, if it's not unethical, if it's not immoral, then okay, let's do it. For example, dating. When we talk about who we're going to date, who we're going to invest in an exclusive relationship with, so to see if we're going to get married or even in marriage, right? We say, okay, well, this person, they're a believer. Okay? Now, we know in the Bible that believer and disciple and follower of Jesus, it's the same standard for everybody. But we don't really know if this person, how this person lives out their faith. We may not even know where they go to church or if they go to church or how they even became a believer. But we like them and we want to start dating them, right? And sometimes we even get to the place where we are going to get married without even talking about the spiritual dimension of our lives together. Or we say, you know what, I know I can't sleep with this person. I know I can't have sex outside of marriage. And so, you know what? One, let's just go ahead and get married so we won't be in sin. Okay, yeah, you're right. You won't be in sin. Not sure if that's the wisest thing to do. Two, we're going to do everything but have intercourse. You know, for some reason, relationships really obstruct our reasoning because we get so tied in emotionally. And even, you know, Andy actually makes a great point in his podcast. He has a leadership podcast where he talked about this, and he talked about affairs. And he talked about how affairs rarely, if ever, begin with an unethical or immoral decision. Usually they begin with an unwise decision. Let me go to lunch with this person. Let me call this person after hours, right? Let me get emotionally attached. When it's unwise, it may not be unethical. Maybe nobody can look at that, at your interaction, and say, oh, that person is in sin. But it starts with an unwise decision. So there's, I want you to ask this question in three different ways. First off, and I think this will really bring a deeper meaning to this. First off, what is the wise thing to do in light of your past experience? In light of your past experience, okay? Not everyone's past experience is like your past experience. And what this helps us to do is it helps us not to compare ourselves in an inappropriate way with other people. Well, if he can do this, why can't I? If she can do this, why can't I? Well, they may not have the same past experiences that you have. You know, our past is a great indicator of our strengths and weaknesses. You can say you can handle whatever you want to handle, but if you haven't done it in the past, there's a good chance you won't be able to do it in the future. We can say it, but will it really be different? It may, or then again, it may not. Our past oftentimes indicates our future. For example, if your history points to the fact that you're a risk taker. Hey, I'm just a risk taker. I like trying new things. I like starting new things. And, you know, next time an opportunity comes up, you may want to think about, man, I've tried 5 things, 4 of them failed. You know, I may really want to give this a little bit more time before I jump into this and invest my whole life earnings into this, because I know from my past I'm a risk taker. So it's thinking like that. Relationships, again, past experiences. You know, I don't know if you noticed this, but, you know, if you look at a person who has been married more than once, you will see that many times their spouse is like exactly the same. Like, it's the same person. Like, people have types, right? I saw it in my own life growing up, and usually it's the same strengths and the same weaknesses. They just get married to a different person, but it's the same person, but it's just a different human being. And so we end up making our mistakes over and over again instead of saying, okay, according to my past experience in dating a person that has this personality or these characteristics, it didn't quite work out. I may want to look for somebody different. All right. Next thing, what is the wise thing to do in light of my current circumstances? What is the wise thing to do in light of my current circumstances? Is this the wise thing to do in light of what's going on right now in my life? Okay. Timing is huge for making decisions. You know, the wise understand the importance of timing. You know, too often I see people, and this is for young married couples, and especially young married couples with young kids, you know what I see? We want to do everything right now. And we think we won't have to sacrifice anything, so we just keep saying yes. So many times, you know, let me just say this. As you advance in your career, as you gain a level of expertise in your career, most of us won't have a problem finding opportunities. Really, we're going to have to get good at not saying yes, but saying no. Saying no, you know what, this is not good for me right now. For me, I've had to do that. I have to look at my different things. You know, I'm just built the way where I have to have different projects at the same time. It keeps me on my toes. I love new things. And so, but I tell my wife, listen, wife, if at any point this hinders our relationship, my relationship with God, if I'm not being good at the other things that I'm supposed to be good at, starting at home, then you need to let me know because I need to let that go. You know, we think about what's best right now. Is getting a master's degree best right now in your current situation, in your current circumstance? Or would it be better to wait a couple of years when you get some free time, or you can plan accordingly, right? It's just different things like that. You got to look at what right now, will I be able to handle this, or will this be too stressful for me? Another thing, in light of my current emotional state, what is the wise thing to do? You know what I've learned? When I'm mad, there's one wise thing to do. Nothing. My wife said, feed me. Yes, that too. Yes. But usually when we are emotional, the best thing to do is do nothing. Because all of us have things we have said, emails we have sent, text messages, right, that we've sent out to people that we wish we could take back because we said it in our emotions. Right? Yesterday when the Florida State Seminoles lost, I texted my brothers and my dad and I said, I hate FSU and I'm a Gator fan from now on. My youngest brother said, I forgive you. I know you were emotional. I know you don't really mean it. I know. That's my point, honey. It's my emotional state. Third thing, what is the wise thing to do in light of my future hopes and dreams? Past experience, current circumstance, future hopes and dreams. Not what everyone else is dreaming about or hoping for, right? But I think most of us have been guilty of undermining our own success, our progress towards our preferred future because of unwise decisions. You know, many would agree that our greatest regret links back to an unwise decision. And this is hopes and dreams professionally or personally in our lives. What is our future hopes and dreams? Will this decision align with what I am trying to accomplish professionally? I have to constantly ask myself, is this the best thing for me? Because I have my hopes and dreams and my goals. And what I think about is there's a straight line between me and my goal. Okay, and I got to ask this decision, this thing that I want to take on, is it on that line or is it off that line? Because then that means I'm going to go zigzag from here to here, and I may still get to my goal. It's just going to take longer. What is the wise thing to do? Now, the best kept secret of wise men and women, you want to know what the best kept secret is? The best kept secret is this: wise people know when they don't know, and they're not afraid to go to those who do know. The best kept secret of wise people is the fact that they get advice. Is they understand, you know what, I don't know. They bump up against their limitations, and they say, instead of faking it, instead of forcing it, then you know what, I'm going to go ahead and get help and reach out to people that I know are farther along than me and see what decisions they would make. And it's really good if we ask people this question. You know, I have this decision I got to make. What is the wise thing to do? You know my past experiences. In light of my past experiences, what do you think is the wise thing for me to do? In light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, this is what I want to do. What do you think is the wise thing for me to do? Wisdom. God helps us discern and make judgments that are sound through wisdom. We see wisdom in the Bible, wisdom we get from life experiences. And so sometimes this is wisdom that's going to help us make the right decision. Other times, we're going to need revelation from God. Okay? Revelation from God himself. Because these are the times when we've asked for advice, when we have two, maybe three good things. We looked at the scriptures, but we still don't know. We want God to make it clear. Maybe we know what we should do, but we don't know about the timing, right? And we've heard different things, but we're still not convinced. And so we ask God, God, reveal to me, speak to me, make known to me what direction I should take. This is that aha moment. Revelation, the term in the scriptures, you know, the Greek for that paints the picture of when you're sitting at a play or a production and you're waiting for the play to start and these curtains are drawn and then all of a sudden the curtains open and you see the set for the first time. That wow, that aha moment that has been revealed to you, right? And so sometimes we experience that even while we are sitting here in the Word of God. We all get different things from this message. And so I throw a lot of stuff out there, but there's some stuff you didn't even hear I said. You might have forgot point one already. But it was that one thing that you're still thinking about. And that's good. You got it. That's what you need. That's what God revealed for you, right? But that's the revelation piece. And so we got to ask God, God, what are you revealing to me, God, specifically and directly? And this actually happens in prayer. You know, this happens in prayer. We often think about prayer as just us talking to God, but many times I believe that as I'm praying, God speaks to me. And there is a dialogue between me and God, and God is revealing something to me. And there's not an audible voice, per se, that's from heaven that says this, but it's more like he impresses things on my heart, right? It's more like he gives me thoughts or ideas or he helps me recall something that I was supposed to do that I've forgotten about, and all of a sudden I remembered, you know? It's like I'm on my prayer walk on September 20th this week, and I'm walking and I'm praying, and then all of a sudden I've asked God, God, what should I pray about? I want the Spirit to intercede for me. And so I'm praying the things, God, please, I want my prayer to be in line with your will. On September 20th, this past week, I'm walking, and all of a sudden I get a text message. And I get a text message reminding me, a dear sister and friend of my wife said, did we forget Christina's spiritual birthday? I looked at the calendar. I'm like, please don't let it be September 20th. Because her spiritual birthday is on September 19th. Sure enough, it was September 20th. I forgot my wife's spiritual birthday. She turned 16 years in the Lord on September 19th. So I cut my prayer time short and made sure that I had some for her when she got home. Amen? The Spirit revealed that to me in the moment. She forgave me. Get you a forgiven wife. We see this in the scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. Write this down. It says this, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. It says, in the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah, he asked. The Lord said, go up. David said, where shall I go? To Hebron, the Lord answered. I look at these conversations, I'm like, did that really happen? Like, he was just talking to God like that? I don't know if it did, or I don't know if this is the only way he communicated that. Like, God impressed on my heart that I should go, and God impressed on my heart, or he made it clear in this way. Another, you know, we see this in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, right? Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, where the Spirit tells him, hey, Philip, go stand on the desert road, go stand by that chariot, right? He didn't know why, but he obeyed the Spirit. We see in Acts 16, Paul and his companions are on their missionary journey, and they're literally talking to God, and they're saying, and it says that the Holy Spirit kept them from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And then when they came to Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed and went past that and went to Troas. And then Paul had a vision in a dream that said, come to Macedonia. to help us. So he got that vision in verse 10 of Acts 16, says, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So he saw this vision, and so he used his reasoning, his relationship with God, and concluded, I believe God is leading us to Macedonia. All these closed doors, maybe this is the open one. So we see this in the scriptures. You know, last week, our boy got baptized, and we're so excited that Doug decided to make Jesus Lord. And the week before, Roxanne got baptized. She's at Spelman. Doug is at Morehouse. And I said, yes, our young people are doing it. Adults, where you at? And so I challenged the adults to step up, to live out their faith. And then the Spirit took over. I didn't have this in my notes, but I called out the adults who had been waiting for different situations to happen before they took that next step, waiting for their spouses before they took the next step. And afterwards, I was like, whew, I wonder how those brothers took it. Should I have said that, Lord? I said, amen. The Spirit said it for me. And right after that, one brother, before I left, after church, I was back here, and somebody came and got me. Angel, Moreno, he wants to talk to you. Now, this is one of the brothers that we've been studying the Bible with, and we said, hey, come on, it's time to go for it. I said, oh, Lord, this is a big boy. You know, he played football. He was a high school coach with me at North Clayton. You know, I said, oh, boy. He said, Pastor Angel, sign me up for next week. I'm ready. He was so ready, and I said, that's great. I was so excited. I'm glad that he was ready to go for it. And usually we have another baptistry. But I said, we're going to have to think of something because you're a big boy. We can't fit you in that other baptistry. So Moreno went out and bought his own baptistry. Took a picture of him in the baptistry, sent it to Paul, said, look, I fit in this one. Then I said, you know what? I got to make my way over to another brother, Andreas. I said, let me ask him how he's feeling. And Andreas is not a man of many words sometimes until you get him going. Then he's going. But how you feeling? Good. He was taking care of his daughter, Aria. Same name as my daughter, my youngest daughter. And I just went for it. I said, what'd you think of what I shared? It was good. I needed to hear it. Okay, so what are you going to do about getting baptized? Have you given it any more thought? I said, I might as well go for it. I'm already out there. He said, you know what, Angel? Matter of fact, I was up at 4 a.m. this morning. This was last week, Sunday. I was up at 4 a.m. feeding Aria, and I was praying, God, show me what I should do. Should I get baptized? When should I get baptized? God woke him up at 4 a.m. through Aria, through his daughter. He was praying to God, and he said this, I didn't expect to get this answer that way today. Not that way. But God, I mean, when we follow the Spirit, we never know how God is working in people's heart, especially because we know the Spirit always wants to preach the word, right? And so Andreas decided, you know what, I need to get baptized. I said, you going to keep praying about it? He said, no, I need to go ahead and make this happen. And so Andreas got baptized yesterday, and we have that video. We have that video.
Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That he died and then rose on the third day and sits at the right hand of the Father?
I do.
And what is your good confession?
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
One love, one heart, let's get together and feel all right.
Hear the children crying.
Andreas is Jamaican. Jamaican in the house. But Andreas is also an army vet. While we were studying the Bible, he told us this story of him being on the front lines. I believe it was in Afghanistan. And they all took turns to kick in these doors as they were going into these different houses. And so he said it was his turn to lead. And he felt like God was speaking to him. And he got this intuition that the door may be booby-trapped. And so he threw a rock at the door and the door exploded. God literally spared his life. So we know that God has a special plan for you, my brother. And I am excited to call you my brother in Christ. So how do we get revelation from God? I just want to give you five quick things, five quick practicals to ensure and to give us a better opportunity to get revelation from God. Number one is this: be quiet. You can't listen to God if you're always talking. And at this, we have so many voices speaking to us right now. We have notifications on our phone. Listen, I want you to try something this week. This is your challenge for the week. I've been giving you challenges. I want you to spend 30 minutes of alone, quiet time. And with your phone, either go for a prayer walk and leave it at home, or put it on Do Not Disturb, or put it on airplane mode, and just spend quiet time with God. What I have to do is when I go on my prayer walks, usually I spend like the first 5-10 minutes sometimes just walking and like clearing my mind and breathing, taking deep breaths just to calm myself down so I can have a time with God where I'm not distracted. And then when you turn your phone back on for those 30 minutes, I want you to see how many notifications you got in just those 30 minutes. You'll be surprised at how many people, whether it's your favorite, you know, news source or whether it's fantasy football updates or whatever else that's vying for your attention. And we're just used to living like this, where we're just looking, we get it, we keep going, we're looking, we get it, we keep going, and it's so hard to really connect with God. Be quiet. Number two, surrender your will to God. We talked about that consecration. Surrender. Be open to whatever God has to say to you. Because if you're only open to hearing one thing or to making one decision, right, then that's what you're going to probably hear. But you got to surrender. Because if you don't, when you do get a yes, you won't be able to trust it. Because that's what you wanted anyway. And so it's hard to know if this is my will or God's will because we never surrendered to God. Number three. Ask for closed doors. Oftentimes we ask for open doors, and God opens doors. And sometimes, guess who else opens doors? Satan opens doors, right? And so what I have started to ask for is closed doors. Make it abundantly clear, God, that you don't want me to go in that direction. Sometimes closed doors help us in our decision-making more than open doors. And we ask God for clarity, and then he closes the door, and then we're mad. And God's like, I closed the door so you would know to go through the open one. Right? Ask for closed doors. God, take away opportunities. Block my path. Just make it abundantly clear in that way so that I can't even do it if I wanted to. Number four, give it time. Give it time. Do you really have to make the decision right now? Really, does it have to be today? Right? Because sometimes we rush through these decisions either because we want something or because we're just stressed out about it and we feel like if we just make a decision, we won't have to be stressed out. Guess what? Your decision isn't going to lead you to peace. God's going to lead you to peace. And so many times, instead of and I would do that. I'm guilty of that. I'm like, let me just do this so I can get it over with. Because I hate that limbo time. I hate limbo time. Because I'm just thinking about it and praying about it. I just want to know, God, what do you want me to do? But what I've had to do is say, God, I need to be at peace during the times of limbo. When I don't know what to do. That God's peace will help me out. So give it time. Can this wait a day? Can this wait a week? Can this wait a month? Maybe we need to revisit moving till next year. Maybe you need to revisit transferring till next year. Maybe you need to revisit dating till next month, right? Just take the time you need. And number five, confirmation. Confirmation. Through another source. God, if this is what you want me to do, confirm this to me. You know, we know that Gideon in Judges 6 did this. He asked for confirmation over and over again. The fleece and the offering. And he's like, I'm still not convinced. God, please make it clear. And God did. But confirmation through another source. We can find confirmation through the Word of God, where we study something out that says makes it crystal clear what we should do. And I know some of us, we're in the habit of, we may see our parents, or it's just tradition, just let me open up the Bible to see what God says to me. And we pick this random scripture, and we make it apply to our lives. Yes, I knew it. Thank you, God. Maybe, maybe not. I think God works with us where we are in our faith, but I think as we mature and we get to know the Bible more, we should know what scriptures to go to. It's not about finding new scriptures as it is as much as it's being reminded of scriptures, right? And the Spirit does that for us. Confirmation comes through the Word. Confirmation comes through different events, right? Different things that may happen. Like for me, a confirmation, we've been doing this series on prayer. And I got an email from just email marketing from Open Resources that does that gives us slides and different media things, free tools. And it's and he's like, they're like, here, here's a whole bundle, a free bundle on prayer. Does prayer change things or something? I'm like, amen. I took that as God supporting me moving in the right direction. It's a small thing, but for me, that's the way I took it. Right? So different events, things that happen, sometimes things are just it can't be coincidence, right? And so look for different events. And then the other thing is the counsel of others. Is there unity amongst your counselors that this is a good thing to do? That this is the wise decision? Because one of the things that really can lead us to bad decisions, unwise decisions, is when we say, the Spirit spoke to me and the Spirit spoke to me alone. And this is what I heard from God. And this is what I'm going to do. Regardless of what anybody else thinks, I have this intuition that this is what I should do. And this is why it's destructive, because it could lead us amongst the path of, is this really the Spirit or not? Is this really God or not? Or is this just really our selfish ambition? Because sometimes our selfish ambition can be louder than the Spirit, right? And I've seen this wreck churches. I've seen this have negative impact on our church. When people decided, this is what I was told by God to do. It's like, well, it'd be good for you to get some advice on that. That is very spiritual as well. When you're looking for confirmation, unity is key. Because the Spirit is not just in one of us. The Spirit is in us as a church, specifically in a local congregation, in your small group, in your circle of friends. The Spirit is among us all. So if you say the Spirit told me to do this and it impacts me, please ask me if the Spirit told me the same. Because you may want to do it, but for me, I say, no, that's not what the Spirit told me. The Spirit's telling me this. So what do you do then? You pray and you give it time and you get counsel from other people instead of just moving forward. The voice of God will never contradict the Word of God. So that's why we should always go to the Bible to make sure that what we are hearing from God is God's Word, is biblical, right? And then what we're hearing from God, it's so important to get that consensus. In James chapter 3, verse 17, I always go back to this when people say, hey, this is what I want to do. This is the wisdom that I got from God. This is the revelation that I got from God. James 3:17 says this. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Run it by the Word of God before you decide that the Spirit's talking to you. Is the decision that you are making, the decision that you are going to make, is it considerate of those whom you love? Is it considerate of the church? Is it submissive, or are you dead set on doing this no matter what? Or do you have a submissive heart about it? God, whatever you want, please lead me. I think this is what you're saying, but lead me. Is it full of mercy and good fruit? Is it sincere? We got to test our actions, and we got to test the spirit. That's what the scriptures say, okay? So those five things I think will help us when it comes to revelation, all right? Wisdom and revelation will give us discernment. That's how God gives us discernment. So remember our challenge for the week. Spend 30 minutes of quiet time. I'm talking about nothing. I'm talking about no music. I'm talking about no kids. I'm talking about no text messages. I'm talking about no Bible app on your phone to put the phone away. Just you and God. You can take your Bible, a physical Bible, okay? Dust that thing off. We could do it. All right? And I'm excited to hear the good news that comes from it. Let's go ahead and pray for our communion. Dear God, we thank you so much for who you are, that you have a part of our lives in such an intricate way, like in such a personal way, that you care about every decision that we make, that you care about whether we go right or left, that you want to lead us among the right path, that you want to shine your light on the path so we know where to go. God, I feel so loved because of that, God, that you don't leave us out here just to do whatever we want to do or without direction, but you truly help us to do your will, God, and that's what we want to do, Father. We know that Jesus was such a great example of that, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, not my will, but your will be done, and your will led him straight to the cross to suffer for us, Father. And I pray that we will have that same heart, that no matter where Jesus leads us, whether it leads to victory or whether it leads to suffering, that we are willing to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. At this time, we thank you for his crucifixion. We thank you for his body that was broken, and we thank you for this blood that was shed that allows us to have a relationship with you, God. As we take this cracker, as we take this juice, help us to really meditate on that, God. And as we see this baptism, knowing that if it wasn't for that blood, the precious blood of your son, Jesus Christ, that would be a useless ceremony, God. But now it is useful because it brings us new life. It washes our sins away, and we get your amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.